Have you ever heard of a show called 30 Days? Maybe not. It's an older one. It was developed in late 2005 by the late Morgan Spurlock, who was a documentary filmmaker. He's best known for having done the movie Super Size Me, in which he spent 30 days eating every one of his meals at McDonald's. That experiment went so well that his doctor said he had to stop before the 30 days was up because he was destroying his body. So keep that in mind when you go to McDonald's. But in the series, he expanded this idea that you can try an experiment for 30 days, you can walk in another's shoes, and it will completely change your own perspective. For example, in the first episode, he and his girlfriend lived only on minimum wage. In 2005, that was $5.15. So they showed what it was like to work as day laborers, to have no health insurance, to live on and eat on only what you can afford. And it showed how much time they spent just subsisting, walking to every place they needed to go or taking the bus, and how much time that takes. Eating, again, only what they could afford to buy or get for free. Getting and keeping work, not something we always think about. It was an amazing picture of how difficult it is, how hard those life circumstances can be, how risky it is, and how challenging it can be and exhausting just to live that close to the edge. In other episodes, a staunch conservative Christian lived with a Muslim family for a month. Another one, a woman who was opposed to LGBTQ adoptions, lived with two gay dads and their four children. In another episode, a professional athlete lived for 30 days in a wheelchair as a paraplegic to understand some of the challenges that are faced by people with physical disabilities. Now, while the show lasted just a short time, there were only about 20 to 25 episodes over 3 years, I found it fascinating. Using that documentary style to put someone in the experience, to really see what that was like, to walk in another's shoes truly for 30 days, I think, did a far better job of illuminating these realities than reading about them or imagining them. Now, Spurlock's main premise, again, in making these documentaries was the idea, that walking in someone's shoes for 30 days can help us better understand our own lives, our perspectives, our biases, and the reasons behind some of our own choices. Now, when God embraced our human experience to live as Jesus, God offered us that same opportunity for a shift in perspective. Living as Jesus meant that God humbled himself to live among us. That means God walked away from all the facts and features of being the creator of God, of all heaven and earth, and set aside God's divinity to take up our own humanity. Unlike Morgan Spurlock, God's choice to walk in humanity's shoes for a while wasn't for entertainment or ratings or self-growth. Rather, God's joining us in our humanity was to show us what God will do for those God loves, and to show us how to love like God does. Judging from what we saw in the news on New Year's Day, we are not getting the message all that well. The mass casualty event that took place early on New Year's morning in New Orleans is certainly not the first we've experienced, and God help us, it probably will not be the last. But it felt like a dismal beginning to a new year. The newscast I watched that morning included a witness with an interview with a witness who had seen the event, who had been there, who had watched it unfold. And this was just 4 hours old. I mean, they were on TV right away. Their very graphic and methodical description about what happened, how people were hurt, and the blurred out footage that we saw so much of, showing first responders treating people laying on the ground, made this event in particular feel very immediate and very raw. In today's collect, we celebrate, quote, that God wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, We go on to ask to share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity. Regardless of what we learn regarding the motives and intentions of this mass casualty event in New Orleans, it is clear that that kind of violence is certainly not an expression of, nor a reaction to, God-inspired love. That violence is not an act committed by someone who believes in the good news of Jesus Christ. It is not an act undertaken by one who believes in the goodness of God. Certainly not like the God that we hear about in the words of Jeremiah today. Jeremiah's words are filled with hope. In today's lesson, he quotes God as saying that all of us, all of God's children, including the marginalized and those without power, all of us will be brought together. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations God will lead them back, will gather us all as loved, valued children, and redeem us from hands too strong for us. In other words, God will bring us together and will save us from the hands that are working very hard all the time to break us. Those hands are the evil thoughts and words and deeds we experience in the world around us, like those evil actions we witnessed in New Orleans. The perpetrator or perpetrators of that crime were not acting in God's love. They were serving the forces of evil, those hands which are too strong for us. Know that the forces of evil are very real, and they are persistent and pervasive. Evil is seeking continually to ingratiate itself into our words and thoughts and deeds. Evil forces always are trying to convince us that evil actions are justified, that anger is always righteous, that judgment is always just, that we are under constant attack, and violence is the only suitable response. Those are lies. And those lies are continual. They are based in fear, and they are contagious. We must be on the watch for those who live in fear, even when they call it something else. Some of those who are most afraid rant and rave about how they are put upon and persecuted. They say that some group is to blame for their situation rather than acknowledging their own fear and asking for help. And because seeing other people's fear can bring up our own worries, it can be hard not to get swept up in another person's anger and judgment and violence. But those thoughts are not of God. They are evil thoughts of the dark one. God does not want us to choose fear or anger, or judgment, or violence. God's way is the way of light and love and dignity. Part of our work as Christians is to guard against the forces of evil that poke around the edges of our world. But this is a huge job. And as Jeremiah reminds us today, those hands of evil are too strong for us. Note that he says they are too strong for us, but they are not too strong for God. That is what Jesus shows us in the message of his life, in his birth, death, and resurrection, that nothing, nothing is too strong for God to overpower. Just as Jesus' death wasn't the final part of the story, we also can trust that the forces of evil will not win the day. Not so long as we trust and rely on God for strength to stand up to those forces. God's promise in Jeremiah is clear. All that is lost will be restored. All of God's people will be made whole again. We can't know exactly what form that will take, or how or when it will happen, but we can be sure that God's restoration of humanity will not include the indiscriminate destruction of that humanity. Rather, God's mission for us is to look for the love, to stand for the hope, to remember the way that Jesus loved and love as he did, with forgiveness and compassion and persistence. And we can live into that mission with a sure and certain knowledge that the end of his life wasn't the end of the story. It was instead proof that, with God's help, the forces of evil and darkness can and will be overcome by the light of God's love. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you burdened and grieved by the evil and destruction of violence, entrusting to your mercy each victim of this latest horrific crime. Lord of mercies and God of all consolation, who gives us solace in our every affliction, comfort the families and friends of each victim, give relief to grieving communities, and bring peace to anxious hearts. O God of peace, who are peace itself, and whom a spirit of discord cannot grasp, nor a violent mind receive, grant to those who are tempted to commit these acts repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, so that they may return to you and escape the forces of evil. O God, author and lover of peace, defend against every attack those who cry to you, so that all who trust in your protection may not fear the weapons of any foe. O God, merciful and strong, be pleased to banish violence swiftly from our midst and to wipe away all tears, so that we all may act as those who are called to be your children. In the name of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, we pray. Amen.